This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 504. We've been doing this feature where we have an expert on something. We ask them anything we want to. We have David Coxon, who is an immigration lawyer. If you'd like to ask him a question, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Nice to meet you, Dave. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
So I used to be a lawyer. I didn't even take an immigration class, so I don't know anything about immigration law. What was it about that field that drew you into it?
Originally, it was just because it was an open market. When I was looking to do a new practice area, I had been in tech. It happened to be open. There were no other attorneys in Athens, Georgia, where I lived and worked at the time. So it was an open market, and my law partner and I took advantage of that, and the practice began booming right away. When I moved to St. Louis, I continued, of course.
So is there a bread and butter kind of client for immigration lawyers?
Well, I can't speak for all immigration lawyers because it's a huge area. I happen to have bread and butter clients, and they're mostly U.S. citizens who have married foreigners.
Okay.
Usually, being a student, they get to meet the U.S. citizen while they're here as a student.
And so we, as non-experts, watch what goes on with immigration, legal and illegal, and we all kind of say the same thing, like, there's got to be a fix for this. How can this be so difficult? When you watch what's going on as an immigration lawyer, how do you see that?
Well, most of my clients are involve U.S. citizens, and so they're in the best possible position among all immigrants, spouses of U.S. citizens, let's put it that way. So they really don't have all of the troubles that we see in other areas of immigration law. It's pretty straightforward. They do have longer waits than I think they would like. It takes about a year for somebody who meets and falls in love with a U.S. citizen to process all their paperwork and get a green card.
If you know, if someone is in Belgium and wants to migrate to the United States and they do everything right, about how long is that wait list?
Well, if they're not going through the spouse of a U.S. citizen but an employer, it's actually about the same amount of time to get a green card through an employer. The employers, however, have to jump through hoops that a spouse wouldn't have to jump through. They have to test the market, make sure that there aren't any U.S. workers available. They do that by running a recruiting campaign with major media outlets. And basically see who can apply, who is qualified and able to do that work. If there are no U.S. workers available, then they can hire the person from Belgium in this example.
And to your knowledge, has it gotten worse? Because people think everything is worse now. Some things are, some things are not. But people say that the wait for legal immigration is so bad. That's why we have so much illegal immigration. Has it really deteriorated over your career?
Well, the people looking to come without proper documents are in a whole different category than someone who might be coming for a job to work for an employer. I don't think those wait times have changed significantly over the nearly 20 years I've been practicing. It's still not good enough, and but I don't think those people who have a clear path forward legally to get here are deterred by that and would consider entering the country illegally. Most of those people don't have options. And the ones that are trying to get in without proper documents just don't have any other option.
Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I was going to ask, since we were talking about the green cards that people get from marriage, you see on TV, I've seen over and over again, really, that it's like, okay, well, now we're going to send an investigator to make sure you're actually in love and you're actually getting married for the right reasons. Does that actually happen?
It's happened. I can count on one hand the number of times that's happened over 20 years in my career. It's not common.
Okay.
If they interview you and it's clear as a part of that interview that you really did find each other attractive and you're living together as spouse, mm-hmm. husband and wife usually, they're not going to call that into question. But if you, sometimes they'll separate couples in the interviews, and you've seen that represented in movies and other media, and they find out that you don't share the same opinions about what color your walls are and mm-hmm. what kind of flooring you have, then they'll immediately be suspicious, and they'll say, I don't think this couple's living together. Then they'll send out investigators.
Just to go off of what Rachel asked, because my sole experience with this is because of 90 Day Fiancé. That's all I watch.
Same and, with Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
But you see them go, they have 90 Day the other way too, where the Americans go to the foreign country, but they think it's easier to get married in the other country to then try to come back over here to gain citizenship, which always proves that it's not.
Well, what's easier about it is that once someone who is married to a U.S. citizen gets here, the process of getting here is just as difficult for fiancés as it is for spouses. But once the spouse gets here, they're basically automatically a permanent resident. The green card will be in the mail.
Mm.
They get a stamp in their passport that's good right away.
I just wanted to clarify, did you say, like, the example from Belgium when it's a work visa, did you say that the employer has to prove that there's not an American who wants that job?
Correct.
Wow, I had no idea. I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, most people think that you can just get a job if you can convince the employer to hire you. And ever since Ronald Reagan's amnesty program kicked in, and we now use the I-9 program, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, when you get a job, you got to fill out a form that explains how you're authorized to work. That really did make a difference in employers willing to hire those who are not documented. It's a rare thing.
So what about someone in Belgium who isn't coming here for a specific job? They just want to be an American. And, hey, America, I want to apply for citizenship because I want to live there. No idea what I want to do for a living. Is that a tougher putt?
Yeah, unless you're kind of famous. No, it's just not going to happen.
Really?
Wow, yeah. I didn't know
So if you're a famous tennis player or a golfer or scientist, those people can come here upon application because we want those people here.
Interesting.
So the rules are a little different for them. But for everybody else, if you just like America and you just want to come here and you don't have an employer sponsor and you don't have a relative sponsor, you're not going to make it.
Wow, this is worth it just having Dave in for that because I mean, we talk about politics all the time. And one thing you hear, especially from my more conservative listeners, is, hey, there's a path to citizenship for everyone in the world. Give us your poor, give us your meat, give us a, just got to get in line and do it the right way. And I've always just believed that anyone out there from any country who wants to come, if they jump through the proper hoops, they can do it.
No, it's long been said by those of us who practice immigration law that the legal means for immigrating to the United States are so limited that it does create this demand. It's not from those same people, like I said earlier, but generally speaking, it's too hard to get here legally. It just is right now. That should change, I think, because we should welcome immigrants. They really bring a lot to the mix. People who are illegally bring a lot to the mix.
So I remember President Trump, and I'm just paraphrasing, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember the vibe of President Trump saying, We only want people who make America better. We only want the smart people. We don't want people who don't have anything. We want the experts, and we want the best and the brightest. And it sounds like that's kind of the way we do it. Like, our filter's pretty tight.
Well, we don't do it that tight. And in fact, that was a suggestion made because that's how they do things in Australia, for example. That's the Australian model. And I think there's some other countries that follow that same model where it's if you're smart and valuable, you're going to get here. That's not currently the case for us. We do have a similar program, the one I was describing earlier, that says if you're famous or rich, you can get here. But short of those programs, you can't just come because you want to.
So, David, if let's say you're an immigrant who has sought asylum and that's how you got into the United States, what is your path to citizenship at that point, if any?
Well, your asylum claim first has to be approved. Once you've had an approved asylum claim, a year later, you can apply for a green card. 5 years after that, you can become a citizen.
Okay.
And how's it running now? Because you hear the stories. Again, I'm quoting like Tucker Carlson, but you hear the stories that, you know, you show up at the border, you say that you are an asylum seeker, you say whatever magic words you need, they let you in, and at this point they're not even giving people court dates that they used to give them a couple years out, they would disappear, but now they're just okay, come on in and have a good time.
Well, I'm not sure that's generally true. I had a client who just hired me who entered without proper documentation, claimed asylum, and was put in immediate proceedings, and now I'm representing him in proceedings. Mm-hmm. Right now, those proceedings are in California, and I'm trying to get them moved here to Missouri, where he lives now with, and it's, of course, I live here too. So it's going to be more convenient for us to have the case here. But that's anecdotal. You know, that's sure. just one case, but I don't think that's happening generally.
So what in general do you need to prove to get asylum?
You have to go through a credible fear interview with someone at the border who's basically just doing a sanity check, saying, are you just making this up to get in or not? So somebody's there doing that check. You know, of course, if they slip across, you know, the river and nobody sees them,
yeah.
you know, that this doesn't apply.
Yeah.
But someone who actually presents himself at the border and says, hey, I want asylum, they're not given asylum immediately. The first step is to have this credible fear interview with an asylum officer. And then assuming they find that they have a credible fear of whatever persecution they're leaving for,
mm-hmm.
then they get put in the process of seeing a judge to make a determination on yeah. that claim.
And do you know, is your gut that these are real experts who really take it seriously and they turn a lot of people away because you're not passing my smell test? Or is it more of a rubber stamp like, okay, you guys have heard what to say, come on in?
No. Well, at that first stage, the credible fear interview is a very low bar. So most people meet that bar if they have something reasonable to say or
yeah.
reasonable fear, credible fear.
And most of them are probably telling the truth.
And I think most are. Yeah, I do think some are probably just repeating what they've been told to say. But then that comes out in front of a judge. The judges are definitely not pushovers. They're going to make a legitimate decision about whether the person has made a claim worthy of asylum or not. But that, of course, comes years later.
So if someone, I'm sorry, go ahead, Trish.
That's okay. Your client that you were talking about, that the case is in California, but he lives in Missouri, what is he allowed to do while he's seeking asylum? Can he go get a job? Like, what are his responsibilities, or does he have any?
Once you've been in an asylum status for a long enough period of time, you are eligible for a work permit.
So there's a certain number of days, or how does it?
Yeah, it used to be 180 days, and now it's a year, yes.
So after a year, he can get a job?
He can apply for a work permit.
Okay.
It takes a while to get. But generally speaking, yes, he could get a job soon after that.
So while they're still seeking asylum, they're able to work. And obviously, they have to pay taxes and contribute everything that any other working citizen would contribute.
Correct.
So you said they can apply for a work visa. And then after a year, they can apply for a green card. How often would someone seeking asylum actually be granted a green card?
Well, they can't get a green card until their asylum claim is heard and decided in their favor.
Okay.
That can take years. So they can get a work permit sooner while they're waiting for that lengthy court process to take place.
Have you seen it happen often that, okay, you're granted asylum, all the hearings are right on track, now we're going to apply for a green card, but we can't give you that?
Well, no, because there's no quota that applies to that category. There
okay.
are quotas that apply to certain people seeking green cards, and then they get put in a queue where they're waiting for a long time. So, for example, brothers and sisters of U.S. citizens, so siblings, they have to wait up to 15 years, depending on what country they're from, just for the privilege of getting a green card because they're related to a U.S. citizen in that fashion.
And I'm sorry, the dumb question, can they be deported at any time in that 15-year waiting period?
Those people aren't even in the United States yet. They're waiting to get into the United States legally through that long process, which is another reason why people say the legal system is broken, because you've got that long waiting period. Mm. It just seems silly.
So if you know, because I know you're not a law enforcement expert, but at this point, if someone who is undocumented, who has not gone to someone like you, who has not gone through the process, has an encounter with the police, are they picked up, taken, turned over to ICE, or is it typically like, okay, here's your ticket, go about your business?
Well, I think that's changing with the changing political environment. There was definitely a trend to send as many people as possible to ICE. I think local law enforcement is clued into the new priorities that the Biden administration has set, which means we're not going to deport people who just happen to have crossed the border and here undocumented. If they haven't committed a crime or done something else, or they're not at risk for our national security, those people aren't going to be sent to ICE. But ICE is still active. They're still taking mm-hmm. people in and still referring cases. And this example I just gave you is a good one.
And if I'm correct, if I'm here and I'm undocumented, and I were to, you know, have a heavy heart and I turn myself in and say, I'm undocumented, but I want to be a citizen, I would have to go back and then come back again. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. There's actually a program called cancellation of removal. If you've been a non-lawful permanent resident, you've been here basically without papers for 10 years or more, and you don't have a criminal record, the fact that you've been here that long does entitle you to apply for a green card, but you have to be in front of a judge to do that. So some people will, in fact, turn themselves in order to get that benefit, to apply for it. Now, that doesn't mean the judge will grant it.
Yeah.
The judge can still say no, and then they're deported. So at risk of deportation, you can turn yourself in hoping that you'll get that 10-year green card if you've been here that long.
So working in the trenches every day, if they brought you to Capitol Hill and everyone gathered around and listened to every word you said, what would you tell them needs to be fixed? What suggestions would you give them?
More legal options to immigrate to the United States. I think that would do a good for our economy. It would be good for the people who are trying to get here and want to do it the right way and the legal way. And it would be bad for the people who want to get here illegally.
Anything else?
No, nope, I'm out of questions.
Yeah, that's great. Dave, how do people contact you if they need your help?
Best place is my website, coximmigration.com.
Excellent. Good information.
Thank
you very
much. I'll call you after next week's 90-day fiancé.
they've been in contact with me, actually.
Have they really? The show?
For people to be on the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't said anyone yet, but
he says yet.
Appreciate it. 524 DGS. Great. Tell me about your lunch.
Okay, so on Saturday, I wanted to order lunch on Grubhub, like we, you know, just ordered DoorDash for the calzone, which was delicious.
Which, by the way, is probably the best, cheapest food item I've ever had.
So good.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's pretty wild.
I would have never, sorry, Little Caesars, ordered from there before. I just wouldn't. It's not in my circle of places. I would order that once a week. No joke.
I wasn't going to say anything, but since you brought it up, I did have it Saturday night.
Wait, did you just get cheese? Because this, I think the pepperoni is so much better.
I got pepperonis for us today. Because,
I know.
But I like the cheese
the
better.
Because
they put more. So the best part to me is the part, the crust part with the cheese. And they don't put a lot of that in the pepperoni one.
That's true.
But they stuff it full.
I like the peps. I like the pep. Well, on Saturday, I wanted to order some lunch, and I thought, you know, I'll try to go healthy. So I looked up a restaurant, a franchise restaurant, that I won't tell you what it is, but they used to sell their sandwiches for $5. $9.44, I think, was the cost of the 12-inch sandwich that I was interested in. And I thought, that is absolutely insane. And it was going to be like $23 or something delivered. Ooh. Then I looked up a local restaurant, Kimchi Guys, and they had like a bowl. And I ended up getting that. And with my tip and everything, it was $20. I do a thing where I like round up to charity. So it was like a solid $20. But the lunch, the delivery, and my tip, and I left a good tip. And I thought, how on earth is this local restaurant able to charge so much less, and then this national chain, it's so much better food.
Was it a lot more food or something? Because
no.
You said one was 20 and one was 23.
It was a Subway footlong.
I wasn't going to say. Yeah.
But I'm just
not the one.
But what I'm asking is,
I knew by the price too.
Finally,
well, it was two different things. Like one was a bowl. So the thing I got from Kimchi Guys was like, it's called like a bibimbap bowl.
Bibimbap.
And it's like rice and a bunch of vegetables and a fried egg and chicken and like, you would think that would be like $15. Yeah, more quality. And it was filling. It was good. But I just couldn't, I don't know. It's one of those things where you just kind of assume that the fast food, quote unquote, is going to be cheaper. But fast food is getting so expensive. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you just go to a local place? Okay. And I know a lot of fast food places are owned by local people. And I get that. I was just kind of blown away that would cost more than my like delicious local bibimbap bowl or whatever it's called.
Bibimbap.
I just love that Rach was really trying to protect Subway. When in the past week on the DGS, we've been like, they don't even have any tuna, and their spokesperson is a convicted pedophile.
Yeah, but we ordered it last week.
Now, I wouldn't dare tell you what restaurant it is that's selling me $9.
I'm telling you, remember my $28 Popeyes run?
That is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is nuts.
For me, Pat and Larry to eat chicken wings.
I don't do delivery for just that reason. Like the food prices are already so high. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like it's just,
I do.
And the fees that they try and charge you and stuff. And it's like, you know, it's gotta be a real special occasion for me I gotta be feeling real tired.
Megan, it's our anniversary. We're ordering a calzone.
White Castle 1940 burger.
And dang it, we will not be leaving the house for it.
Oh, I love you.
It's Christmas.
537 DGS. Enjoy this. because in a couple of weeks it's going to be 6:30, right? 4:30.
4:30.
Damn.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Goes back.
Yeah.
Enjoy this because in a couple weeks it's going to be 4:30.
Well, when I was.
It means it's going to be dark.
It is getting darker earlier. I was left the other night at like 6:30, 6:40, and it was.
Oh, you can tell.
Yeah. And that's when I ran into our friend at the intersection asking for money, which I did not like, especially because it was kind of dark out. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to coming downtown. Obviously, I come down here every day. But if you're coming down for an event and it's dark out and somebody's at the stoplight begging you for money, that's not a way to get people to come back to the city.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine sent me a photo of Six Flags when it opened, an aerial photo of the whole park, 1971. I don't think I went until about 74 and I was probably about 10 years old, but it looked exactly the same. I could walk around that place. And it was really, really fun and really interesting. And like Phoebe loves Six Flags. She has a season's pass. It's still a thing. But she's been so many places. It was my only place. Like little kid from South Texas, Six Flags was it. It was Disney World times a million. And just looking at that photo, it's so tiny. Like, I would have thought it was 3-4 times bigger than it was. No Screaming Eagle. You know, just so many things not there. It was just, I don't know.
Oh, the Screaming Eagle wasn't there right away?
Mm-mm.
That's hard to remember.
Yeah, just have you been on the train.
Have you been on the Screaming Eagle
once,
in a while?
One time.
Oh, one time in your life?
Once in my life. I'm not a ride guy.
I love rides.
Once I'm on them, I like them, but it's just not worth the...
You don't like them when you're on them. What are you talking about?
No. I do. I'm not like, I'd love
it. He's always maintained, like, I will do anything to keep from getting on the ride.
I don't like the stomach ache of worrying about getting on one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And they're not that fun.
Oh, I love them.
No, they suck.
I'm so afraid of getting stuck upside down. You see that happen to people all the time.
I don't know about all the time.
It happens a lot.
Yeah, if it happens once, that's too much.
I mean, I agree.
One too many times.
I agree. Once is too many.
Do you remember when you guys graduated from like the, at a carnival, like a local carnival, from the little car carousel to like a real ride?
Yeah.
A real car.
I remember they had a carnival down. It was in Grafton, which was weird. Maybe it was the Jersey County Fair. I don't know. But they had the ride where you get on and gravity just like puts you up against
like
the
Tom's
wall
Twister.
And it spins you.
Yeah.
And I remember getting on the ride and not knowing what it was because it was like a big kid ride. And then it was explained to me. And I turned to my brother. I'm like, we doing this? This doesn't seem right that we just stick to the wall and nothing is keeping us there. Like that was
scary. Did you do it?
Yeah.
And?
It was weird.
Yeah.
Don't want to do it again.
Was Dave a rider?
Yeah, way more than me.
Yeah.
I went on the Screaming Eagle when I was probably way too little. Because
it scared you?
It scared me so bad.
It's pretty rickety.
Yeah.
Like, I rode it the last time I was there, which was a couple of years ago. I took my nephew. It's so much different than the newer rides. Newer rides are so smooth.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty rickety.
Yeah.
What about the Rocco planes? Do you remember those from school picnics?
I do.
The Rocco planes.
Like, you could shake the car.
I did one of those
back and forth
as recently as when Jen and I were together, Nick's mom, which would be 25 years ago. Oh my God, that's amazing.
As recently as 25 years ago.
Is that crazy? Yesterday. That just happened in real time in my head. I'm like, that was last fall.
Or 25 years ago.
But what I remember about it is I physically could not stop laughing. That was my response. I could not stop
that's
laughing.
That's what like, it does
like
to me too, right?
Like out of fun or out of nerves?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, both. You're just not used to that happening to your body.
Rides and haunted houses, I scream and laugh at the same time.
Yeah.
Bloody murder.
We got to get Trish to a haunted house. I firmly believe this.
I hate it and love it at the same time.
It'd be so much fun.
I just hate it.
Well, whoever.
I love scary movies. I love being scared. I don't.
Which is weird that you don't like a haunted house.
Well, you know what, though? I think I know where Dave's going to go with this because it's just a guy. So when the guy pops out, he's like, and you're like, get out of here. You're just a guy.
Yeah, it's just a guy making $12 an hour to scare me.
But there's no merit in what you're doing. You're just a guy.
And they all say that they can't touch you, and they all do.
Yes, thank you. Very handsy.
Dave's like, they promise they're not going to kiss you, and what do they do?
Next thing you know, you're making out with a mummy.
Next thing you know, he sweeps you off your feet.
And you're getting married.
Check this out. Teacher was fired for staring at students' breasts multiple times, multiple girls. His defense, anyone want to guess?
Their shirts were too low.
He's got a lazy eye.
Both good. He put in the wrong set of contacts.
I just didn't know what I was looking at.
Look at breast contacts instead of
exactly.
Look straight ahead.
Exactly. Like, oops.
That is insane.
The only way that my cataracts don't hurt me is if I look down
at boobs
as I speak to you.
Rach, can we talk about the shoes?
Yeah, I ordered these shoes. They're loafers, and I kind of forgot that I ordered them, and I got them today, and I immediately put them on because I got them out of the package, and what did I say? I said, they're so small, they're not going to fit me, and then they fit, and I just love them. They're so cute.
They look cute on you.
I got a pep in my step. Thanks,
Trish. Oh, my God. When we went on that weird walk around the block, I told her, I'm like, I don't know how you're physically doing it, but you're leading with your shoes. Like, you know that, like, famous old,
the
like,
Lennon.
Keep trucking thing where the guy's got his foot way out? She's just like, loafer, loafer, loafer.
Little photo of John Lennon where he's, like, from the bottom and he's got his foot out.
I feel like SpongeBob in a good way because they're just, like, shiny black shoes.
It's cute. Cute,
I'm loving
cute.
Them.
And she's
I'm
like, do you think that bird likes my shoes?
That guy probably liked your shoes. That's probably why he was laughing. So he's like, I want to get her to like me.
Rach, what was your reaction to the guy? Like, were you weirded out?
Yes, and Dave was being polite, and I was like, what is his problem? Like I said, like before he was fully out of earshot, I was like, I don't know how we were supposed to respond to that, but that was weird.
So weird. Hope he's listening.
He upset me, yeah.
Trish, what's the deal about quitting your job and making a proclamation?
Here we go.
The moment is here.
Oh, it's
and
happening.
I quit.
It's happening.
No.
Rachel's shoes were the last straw.
Ryan Reynolds is taking a break from acting. And why do you have to announce it? Just don't make anything for a while.
Yeah, just take the break.
Never thought of that.
It reminded me of, a couple weeks ago, I forget her name, from Paramore.
Hayley Williams.
Yeah, she was quitting social media. She had to make an announcement.
Yeah.
Like, just do it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to make an announcement. Regular people do it too, not just celebrities, which they want attention, I get. But celebrities should have enough attention that we don't need your big announcements. Everybody goes, oh, why? Don't do that. Like, just don't make a movie for a while. Mm-hmm. We probably wouldn't know.
Am I wrong about this? I think Ryan Reynolds is just about the most attractive, charming human being on the planet. He doesn't seem to make many good movies.
He also knows how good looking and charming he is, which kind of sometimes it can make you really. I think he seems like a really nice guy as well, but it's just. Sometimes
his new movie, what's it called? The Yes Man or something like that?
Free Guy.
I watched a trailer. I'm like, why?
Is that the one with Will Ferrell?
Ever watch this?
I don't know who's in that other than him. He plays like a guy who's in a video
game. Oh, no. He's got another one coming out with Will Ferrell. Clearly, I do follow his career, so I would know if he's making another one or not.
Also, you just said you quit, man. Now you got this movie coming out with Will Ferrell. Make up your mind.
Right.
That's a good point, though, Trish. Just go.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Just go.
I guess it's for attention.
He and his wife are all about like talking to each other on social media, though. So we all know what he's
Blake
doing.
Lively.
Like, they're the type to be like, "What? That's not what you said at dinner last night, sweetie." Like, all up in each other's comments.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
so kinda, gross.
That's kind of
what
obnoxious.
Percentage of people? Because I don't see it come out on Twitter, but what percentage of people who see it do you guys think go, "Oh my god, I love them even more"?
A lot.
And what percentage just roll their eyes?
Tons. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Probably 50-50.
The same people who like you know are really into like John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah, when I see these things, I think, who does this work on?
I don't know, but you should see, like, I would never stop and comment. I might, like, go, oh, that's cute or something and move on. But their comments and their views, I mean, it's thousands and thousands of people who take the time out to comment on the pictures.
Here's my level of understanding. I was listening to Sasquatch Chronicles last night, and there are comments under each section, and the same 8 people just went one after another. Like, had to be 500 comments, and you think, oh, it's a really popular show. It's the same 8 people.
Having a conversation.
Yes. Yep. And it's just like, you again? Like, what's wrong with you? First of all, you're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Secondly, Like, you've obviously spent the last 8 hours commenting to your other seven. It's just.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. Just hanging out in the comments.
That movie, Don't F with Cats. Anyone seen that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's about one of the worst human beings who's ever lived, who tortures and suffocates cats. I liked him better than, like, the internet sleuths who were looking after him.
Really?
Oh, they were so creepy. I mean, really, like, 24-7, that's all they did. It's just like, damn.
They found him.
5:54, DJS Wheeler's coming up after the top of the hour with Sports Open Line, whatever the hell he does. I don't know.
He's going to be busy tonight.
We have to join the union here on KMOX. So we all joined SAG-AFTRA, which kind of made me happy. My dad was a union guy. I have nothing against unions. And recently, did you guys see that they just worked it out, but the Hollywood union, a different one than ours, looked like they're going to go on strike. And so I grew up in a union family, and if this person went on strike, then they went on strike, and I was really excited about going on strike. Like, I'm sure it would never happen. It's not the way it works, but I was really hoping, like, I just thought it'd be fun.
For the time off, or just for the sake of?
For the sake of. Just, like, it's one more thing I can say, like, in my life.
I did it in solidarity.
Yeah.
My dad still won't cross the picket line.
I won't either. Just because I grew up with Jack Glover.
Yep.
You know,
I wonder how the Kellogg strike is going. I haven't seen anything about it until they announced it. But there was a Kellogg story that I didn't do last week in solidarity with the Kellogg's folks. Let's see if what's going on.
I didn't know.
We're going to break in 30 seconds, so might not figure out today.
Hold on for this story tomorrow.
They're still striking. They're still striking.
So we're not making Frosted Flakes right now?
I guess not.
They were going to have that Wendy's cereal too, because we're not going to have the frosty cereal.
That's a story I squelched last week, Trish, in solidarity for our Kellogg's workers.
You're like Norma Rae.
I said, cut it. We're not doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.